tonight. We're not going, to the book of Revelations this evening. I got something different tonight I'd like to look at. So we'll take your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. I actually wrote my thesis when I was in Bible college on the book of Galatians. Great study there in the book. Maybe we'll do that study one day. But the study of Galatians. Before I forget, some of you called it, I was in a dream world. I don't know what I'm saying half the time. But camp's not a week from Monday, it's Monday. I told them that was wishful thinking on my part. Though camp's next week, so I get to sleep on a cot again next week. That just excites the far out of me. So, amen. So, no, we'll be in camp next week. So, 10 o'clock next Monday morning, we'll be going to camp. So, and then also, Brother Tony wanted me to say thank you to everybody that helped out with the teen outing Sunday night. Appreciate all the food and all that. They had a good time. And so, appreciate all that. All right, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 1 with us together. Galatians 5, 1. I know this is our July the 4th Eve service, if you want to call it that. Tomorrow is July the 4th, a very important day for our country. I'm afraid in the day and hour that we're living in, it doesn't have the meaning that it used to have. I can remember as a young boy, July 4th, boy, that was just a big day. The thoughts of our country and the love for our country just really showed. And I know in the past it's really been that way, but it seems like in these last years and just seems like that patriotism is not like it used to be, what I can see anyway. And that's sad. But I want to share some things tonight with you that probably most of our children never hear in school because they don't teach this in school anymore. But I want to share some things, and we're going to tie it spiritually this evening. We do it at camp. We do it at Vacation Bible School. We'll stand and we'll salute that flag, and we'll make a statement that says, "I pledge allegiance to the flag." Not just any flag, but the flag of the United States of America. And I'm afraid that a lot of young people today, because I don't even know if they recite the pledge much anymore in school, but I remember when I was in school, that was every day we said the pledge to the flag. We prayed every day, even when I was in school. I had good teachers that prayed every day. I can remember that in elementary school especially. But I want to look at a thought tonight about our country just a little bit tonight. And just that thought about pledging allegiance to something. Here in Galatians chapter 5, Paul writing here through the inspiration of God, he makes his statement. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." I am so thankful tonight that I can stand here knowing that I'm an American, knowing that I'm free because not of anything. I didn't do anything. We use that word freedom so much, and again, you've heard it before. Freedom is not free. It costs. It costs a lot of people. It costs some of you. Some of you have served. Some of you have given. Some of you have lost loved ones that have given their life to our country. And I thank God for that. I don't take that for granted. But people today don't think much about what it costs to have the freedoms that we have. And I don't care. We're going to read some things in a moment. I know by what I read tonight that our founding fathers had more about them than what our current president has to say. Our current president today will say and has claimed that our country is not a Christian nation. Well, you go back to read what our founding fathers had to say. They had much to say about not just religion, but about the Lord Jesus Christ and how their thought pattern, how they were driven and guided through God, through the Holy Ghost, through the power of God. And they said much about the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, Paul says here, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." We tonight, and we're going to look just a little bit here after I read you some quotes about our forefathers, we're going to think a little bit about these men of old. We think most time, we think about back in the revolutionary times, we think about those men as the word patriots. They were patriots. Well, patriots is more than just people that fought during the Revolutionary War. I'll give you the definition of what a patriot is. But patriotism is something that ought to ring out in our heart as Christians today. We need to, we've been commanded to be good soldiers, to endure hardness as good soldiers. And Christ here tells us that we need to learn to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We need to have a toehold on this thing and stand strong, not in ourselves, not in what we're doing, not in the Baptist church, not inside of what America is, and I love America, but we ought to stand true, stand fast in the liberty that we have been given only and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll look at that a little bit deeper here this evening. So let's pray and we'll let you be seated. Father, we love you. We sure thank you, Lord, again for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for our country. I thank you, Lord, for men and women, even tonight. God, they're in foreign land. God, Lord, they're on home soil even. God, they're giving of themselves, God, to defend our country, Lord. And thank you, Lord, God, for their diligence, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the men and women that have died in the days gone by. God, that we could have the freedoms that we have even today. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for those men. God, I believe it was God ordained. I believe, God, that you put things in place. God, I believe you used America for another stepping stone to take the gospel to a lost and a dying world. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, Lord, that you'd rise up back in our churches. God, that you'd rise back up in our lives, Lord. God, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, but God, we'd stand firm in this liberty, Lord, that's given to us only and through you, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd help each one of us tonight, God, to get a backbone. God, help us not to roll over. Help us not to turn to the side. God, help us to be strong in the faith. And God, we'll thank you for all that you're going to do here this evening. We'll praise you for it. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Before we get into the message tonight about that allegiance that we should have this evening, let me read you some things, about four different things tonight that comes from our forefathers dealing with the thought of our nation. Patrick Henry said this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." That's what Patrick Henry said. So that sounds like to me he had a good idea that who the Lord Jesus Christ was. He said that our country, we say, well, our country is founded on the freedom of religion. I understand that. But he went further to say it wasn't just any religion. It wasn't on Muhammad or Allah. It was on the religion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true spiritual religion, that is, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Now, that goes totally against what our president would say today. But that's not what our forefathers said. George Washington said this in his farewell address. He says, "Do not let anyone claim tribute of America patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics." Oh, church state, can't have it. If people would only understand what that really was about. It wasn't a fact about keeping the church out of the state. It was keeping the church, or keeping the state out of the church, is what it was for. But people don't want to hear that today. And George Washington made that great statement, says, "Do not let anyone claim tribute of American patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics." Thomas Jefferson said this, "The First Amendment has created a wall of separation between church and state, but that wall is a one-directional wall. It keeps the government from running the church, but it makes sure the Christian principles will always stay in government." That's what Jefferson said. I don't know where we've turned in over the last hundreds of years, but this is where we are today. John Adams said this. He says, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." That's what he said. He said that's what it was all about. It was rounded around through the thoughts of a spiritual mind. So again, our country, we know, and again, you don't hear this. This isn't popular today. You never see or hear this on the news. But that's what our forefathers actually said about our country. And tonight, I want to look just a little bit tonight at this thought of our allegiance. I pledge allegiance. I thought about it last week as I stood there every morning because, you know, I don't remember, you know, we don't say the pledge a whole lot, like I said. But every morning last week at camp, we stood and we pledged allegiance to the American flag, to the Christian flag, to the Bible. And what does that mean to pledge allegiance? And I want to look at some thoughts about that this evening through our patriots. The word patriot means this: a person that vigorously supports and defends one's country. Not one that runs to another country to get away from being drafted. I'll let you put names there. Not one that tries to use law to get them out of doing something, but a person that stands up, that has some backbone about them, that believes in what they believe in, is not ashamed of it, that stands up for what they have in the depths of their heart and will fight for it. And I wonder in my own soul, the only person I really ever fought in my life was my brother. We had some pretty good knockdown drag outs. But I think in my mind, because we don't know what we'll do till we're put there, but I believe with all my heart I'd defend my family till death. I believe I'd do anything I could to help my children or my wife, and I hope the same thing for you. But when it comes to spiritual matters tonight, when it comes to this Bible, when it comes to being able to stand up and preach the gospel in open air, when it comes to standing out, knocking on the door, those days are vastly going to come to an end. Things are changing so dramatically in our country that we are being labeled as the bad guys. Now, you don't think about it much, but the more we stand, but I wonder, would we be a patriot for the Lord Jesus Christ? He's called us to be a good soldier. But tonight, can we honestly say in the depths of my heart, "Hear my Lord, sign me up, put me in the battle. I'll vigorously, I'll crawl through the mud. I'll run through the battle." Boy, it just comes to my mind. Boy, I used to love to read. A lot of that's gone from my head because it's not a lot of room up there, but I used to love to read things about the Civil War. And it always amazed me about Stonewall Jackson and his devotion to the Lord and how he prayed and how he just knew how God was in control and how he would stand in the midst of a battle and not flinch at the bullets and the raging of war, because he believed with all his heart that God was the giver of life and that God would be the one that said today would be his day of death. I wonder tonight, where in America has this patriotism gone? Today we allow people to burn our flag on our own soil. We do. I remember the day when you took the flag and you treated it with some dignity. You didn't let it touch the ground. It meant something. And I'm again thankful for our country, but I wonder tonight, greater than our freedom of America, what about our spiritual freedom that God tells us about in the Bible? Would we be a patriot for Christ? Would we vigorously support and defend? You can't wait till the day that it happens. There's got to be something inside of you that's got such a depth of love for the Lord that you're not going to... Remember David? David went out, young David. David didn't get to go out to play war. You know, his brothers went and he had to stay and take care of his father's sheep. But his father called and says, "David, I got some stuff I want you to take out to your brothers." Boy, I can just picture in my mind how excited David probably was. David, a young man, he was excited to be able to go and see a battle, that war, to see what was taking place. And when David got there, he was, I believe, probably astonished. Instead of seeing blood, guts, and all the things young boys like to talk about and read about, he saw all his friends and brothers hiding behind the trees over here while the Philistines were out there, and here comes this big old giant out there making fun of his God. You know what David did? David said, "I'm going to be a patriot. That big old Philistine, he's not going to talk about my God." See, David wasn't fighting for Israel. David was fighting for the Lord. And this evening, again, I'm thankful for you. Many of you served in our military, and I thank God many of you's got family and friends that are serving today, and I thank God for them. But America can come and America can go. But I'm telling you, this Bible, this Word of God, the Spirit of God will never depart. And we need to stand up and have a backbone that we're not ashamed of it. You can't do that. Who says we can't? And again, I'm not saying let's go get guns and take over our country. I'm not saying that. But I am saying if we truly believe what we say we believe, and I hope you do, let's think about it. What do we say we believe? Now, that's a big line of thought there, but let's boil her down to a nutshell here. We believe that man is a lost creature, that without God there'd be no hope. We believe that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl is born with a sin nature of Adam. And because of that sin nature of Adam, that person deserves what? Hell. We believe that. Is that not what we believe? So that means every person in this room, every person in this world tonight deserved hell. Is that not what we believe? We also believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave us hope. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth in the robe of flesh and lived upon this earth for those 33 and some years. And went to Calvary's cross and died. Is that what we believe? What did He die for? He died to make payment for my sin. He died to make payment for your sin. Without the shedding of blood, there'd be no remission of sin. So Christ, that perfect Lamb of God, died. His blood was shed for the sins of the world. They took Him off that cross. They buried Him. And we believe in 3 days He did what? He arose. And then He was seen of many, and then He ascended back up to the heavens. And we believe that tonight the only hope, the only way to heaven is what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Is that pretty much what we believe tonight? That's not a Baptist belief. That's a biblical belief. So if we believe tonight that men and women, look, we hear the news all the time of all the things happening in foreign countries, and there's terrible things. You know, we don't live with that around here, and I'm thankful. Boy, I'm glad we don't have to worry about bombs blowing up everywhere. I'm glad we're not worried about other warfares taking place around us. It could happen, and it might happen. But there's countries tonight that our country is very, even tonight in Egypt, there's a major uproar. Tonight they don't know what's going to happen in Egypt because they're trying to kick out one president and put in another one. And the military has stepped in, and there's great rioting going on right now in Egypt. And our country is already putting a stance into it, saying where we want them to be and do, like we have any business with that. But we say we have so much interest in what everybody else is doing along the world. We've got foreign countries tonight that have done terrible things to humanity. And we as a country have tried to step in and tell them that they can't do that. And we've done all those things over these years. And all I'm not saying those things are right or wrong. I'm not going there tonight. But what I do say tonight, that you and I as believers tonight ought to be able to look through spiritual eyes and see that man is going to die and go to hell. And the only hope they have is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be patriots. We ought to vigorously support and defend the things of Christ. So, why don't we? I got to ask that to me. I can't ask that for you. Would I vigorously, when you think about that word vigorous, I think about the military men. I read that article that Brother Jerry brought me about the men that served with Patton. I've read those war stories of different battles through the Civil War where men literally just did amazing things in the flesh. I mean, they went through tremendous obstacles. They would cross different places and do different things, like things that you just couldn't imagine that man would do. And all those are amazing things. But the church, why are we not standing in that place of making up that hedge? Why are we not trudging through the mud? Why aren't we vigorously attacking and going forth if we believe what we say we believe? And that's the thought tonight as a patriot tonight, having that allegiance, having that thought tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles with us over to Matthew. I want to show you a man tonight that he pledged allegiance. But I want to say tonight, just saying something doesn't make it. And I'm going to show it to you here tonight. Look with me in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, look with me in verse 31. Here the Lord Jesus Christ getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary. Here in verse number 31 says this, speaking of those disciples, he says, "Then saith Jesus unto them," this is Matthew 26, verse 31, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you unto Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. That's a pretty good pledge, isn't it? Peter, not just Peter either. We give Peter the hard rap because Peter's one that stood up. But it says all the disciples made the same pledge. Verse 35 says, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. And we know how the Lord Jesus Christ, there in the garden, how the men came and Judas kissed him, and how they took the Lord away and arrested him as a thief and a murderer and persecuted and tried him, and how he went to Calvary's cross and died. Peter made a great pledge. "I pledge allegiance to the Lord. I'll never leave you. Wherever you go, I'll go. I'll even die with you, Lord." You might know the rest of the story about Peter. What happened to him? Three times he denied Christ. Less than 24 hours after he made the pledge, Peter's already lost sight of what he'd done said. How many times have we stood and pledged allegiance to that flag? How many times have we said that we would defend and support and die for that flag? How many times have we told the Lord that we'd do something? How quickly have we forgotten? See, it's not just about making a statement. "You can count on me." I've heard that a lot. Had a deacon one time that, and he's not here, thank the Lord. Had a deacon one time, he told me he had my back. I didn't realize he had a knife in it though. He had it all right. Just had a knife about that long in it. Cut me down, tore me up. Not to my face. It's amazing how people are cowards. They don't ever do it to your face. He told me less than 6 months before that he had my back. He'd be right there fighting with me. It turned out he fought against me. Tonight, we need to learn to pledge allegiance to the Lord. We need to be a patriot like the patriots of old. And I want to draw our minds back to those men back in the birthing of our country. And as I even prayed, I made mention, I believe that God was so in the motion of our country becoming what it's become. God established our country to take the gospel to that next step, to get the gospel. At one time, and it's fleeting quickly, but at one time, the gospel was pouring out of America like no other country. We had more missionaries around the world than any other country. People were so willing to go and go and do because they believed in what God was doing. But these men here that founded our country, these patriots that vigorously supported and defended their country, the first thing they did, of course, and it's just what it has to start off with, and these men made a declaration. They declared something. Those men publicly stood up and says, "What Britain's doing is wrong. We're going to defend our freedoms. We're going to defend our country, and we're not ashamed of it." Let me read some history to you. Well, let me give you this one first. We all know our Declaration of Independence. We know that the signers are. We're going to look at them here in a little bit, but. Who's the guy that wrote his name the biggest? Who was it? John Hancock. And most of you know why he did that. It wasn't because he couldn't see. It wasn't because he couldn't write. He wanted his name to be so big that they didn't have any doubt about who he was and who signed that piece of paper. See, he made a very bold declaration. He wasn't ashamed for his name to be on that piece of paper. And I'm not saying the other men wasn't, but he signing his name so largely, he boldly made a statement. So again, they made a declaration. Let me read some history to you this evening. It says, for more than 14 months after the Battle of Lexington at Concord, April 19, 1775, the Patriots fought not, and I thought this was interesting, they fought not for their independence, but rather they fought for the rights within the British Empire. When they began to fight, it wasn't a battle to succeed or break away from them. It was a battle about because they were being mistreated. These men stood against their own country and said, what you're doing's wrong. Rights that they had been gradually taken away before and ever more after. The Boston Tea Party and hundreds of Americans gave their lives to regain these rights. 400 alone died at the Battle of Bunker Hill. It was during this time of conflict that Patrick Henry made that great fiery speech there in Virginia. Let me read some of that to you. Here's how it concluded. It says, 3 million people armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that which we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destiny of nations and who will rise up, friends, to fight our battle for us. Battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. See, I believe he had an idea of what he was talking about. As he spoke here, Patrick Henry. He also went on to say, it is in vain, sir, to accentuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. Our brethren are already in the field. Then he makes this great statement. Why stand we here idle? Patrick Henry stood there before that Virginia group of men, and he claimed the fact that the battle was already engaged, that men were dying, that men were fighting for the freedoms that they wanted, and he makes that statement, why stand we here idle? And tonight, all across this world, men are preaching the gospel. Families are giving of themselves. Why stand we here idle? Well, preacher, I can't go over there. Oh, but there's more than just the person that's out in the front lines. You that fought, that have served in our country, look at all that it takes to get a group of men from point A to point B. All the things that go on behind the scene. All the things that take place to help them. That's the reason we support missions. That's the reason we try to encourage you to pray. That's the reason we bring missionaries in to try to encourage them while we've got them and help them. Patrick Henry said, sirs, why stand we here idle? What is that gentleman wish? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Most of us only know that latter part of that statement. See, he stood before a group of men that were contemplating this battle. Men that were doing more talking than they were action. I worked at Freightliner for all those years, and when I got in engineering, I had to go to a lot of meetings, and we had meetings just to have meetings about meetings. We did a lot of talking and not much working. Sort of like our country is today. Patrick Henry stood before those men and let them know that men were dying, men were giving their lives, and then he says, why are we standing around doing nothing? That's the type of patriots that founded our country. Tomorrow, as we celebrate July the 4th, it is. I heard on the radio coming over here, do you know how many hot dogs they estimate will be eaten tomorrow in America? 150 million hot dogs, they say, will be consumed tomorrow. Think of all the chicken lips that people will be eating tomorrow. That helps your hot dog when you eat it. This won't be a help to you. Don't read what's on the back. 150 million hot dogs. I like hot dogs too. I ain't going to eat 150 million of them. But tomorrow people are going to wake up and all that's on their mind is what the recreation of the day is going to be, where they're going to spend their day with. And I'm not saying all that's terrible. But there were men like Patrick Henry, and there's going to be men tomorrow, women tomorrow, that are going to wake up on a battlefield. But what about us Christians? Are we not in a war? Is not the battle raging? Is there time for a break? See, they made a great declaration. Let me read a little more history. It says, in early in the summer of 1776, at the meeting of the Continental Congress on July 2nd, 1776, the colonies voted to announce and declare that they would accept nothing less than absolute freedom from England. 2 days later, on July 4th, after making some minor adjustments to the text, the final wording was ratified and signed by the 56 members representing the 13 colonies. John Adams was a member of the drafting committee, was so excited what I read. He was so excited with the vote on July 2nd that he wrote this to his wife. This is what he wrote back to his wife. He said, the 2nd of July, 1776 will be the most memorable day in the history of America. I believe it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival with shows, games, sports, balls, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of the country to the other from this time forward and forevermore. Sounds like he sort of knew what was getting ready to take place, didn't it? He said, this is going to be the greatest thing that's ever happened to our country. We're getting ready to see something happen like no man's even dreamed to take place. And he was so excited, he wrote his wife and let her know what would just happen. Tonight, how many of us is happy they're saved? Well, I'm glad you raised your hand. I thought I was getting worried there for a moment. You ever get excited about being saved? You ever think about the thoughts that God loved you so much that you don't have to go to hell? Aren't you glad tonight the Lord Jesus Christ loved you so much He was willing to die for you? John Adams here was so excited about what was getting ready to take place that he had to write back. What email? It was snail mail. Horse mail, I guess. He was so excited he pinned it down wanting his wife to understand what was getting ready to take place. I wonder today, has that excitement lost our heart to the place that we don't tell anybody about what the Lord did for us? Have you lost that excitement of that freedom, that liberty that we have in Christ? Boy, John Adams saw something great taking place. Goes on to say, after the Declaration was signed, couriers took copies of it to George Washington, who was with his troops in New York. And on July the 9th, the Declaration was read before the militia troops who were out in the fields. It says, understand this was a bold declaration. It was the Americans that were challenged to the most powerful empire of the world at the time. And the Americans entered this war without a navy, without an army. Their fighting forces consisted only of militia units in the various colonies. These citizen soldiers were ready to defend their home and families with danger threatened. These colonies could call up militia men for service ranging from a few days to a few months. See what it's saying? They stood when they didn't have everything. Today, churches say, well, if we had this and this and this, we'll do something. They didn't look at what they didn't have. They just knew what they needed and stood and proclaimed their declaration. So tonight, these great patriots of old, they stood before that great army of England and said, we don't care how big your military is. We don't care how pretty they look. We don't care how well trained they are. We don't care how much ammunition you've got and how much time you've got and all that. We don't care. We just really believe what we're doing is right. And we're willing to die believing what we believe. That's patriotism. And tonight, you and I as believers, tonight we need to get a little bit of that grit in our crawl. We need to get a little bit of that declaration in our hearts that we're not going to back down. We're going to stand up and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to be ashamed of it. We're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because it starts with a declaration. Somebody has to purpose in their heart. Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, many of us have probably said, yeah, that's me. That's what I'm going to do. What did Peter say? Peter said, Lord, I'll go wherever you go. I'll die if I have to die. What did Peter do? The cock crew. Tonight, it's not just about saying something. It's about doing what we say. And then I want you to understand, we as the church of the living God, we need to get a backbone back in our back like a saw log. We need to stand up and be proud, not of ourselves, but of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in our heart, and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, knowing that it is the power of God unto salvation. And become just as the Patriots were. Look, the world's bigger than we are. The world's totally against everything that we say that we're for. Our government's vastly taken away a lot of things that we say is right. But does that change our fact that we don't believe what we used to believe? It shouldn't. We're just needing some patriots back in the church house. So I see here that, first of all, here with these patriots, they made a great declaration. The second thing of all, and I want to be real careful here, is they had to pay a price. It cost them. It cost them greatly. It costs them, you know, tonight, as I think about myself, it doesn't really bother me to think that I might have to die. But it would bother me to think that my wife would have to die. It would bother me to think that my children would have to die. And tonight, as I think about that great book, we have it back there in our library, that Fox's Book of Martyrs, of people that literally gave their lives for what they said they believed in. Not just their own lives, but they watched their families tortured and beat. All because of Christ. These men of our forefathers, what we're going to celebrate tomorrow, eating 150 million hot dogs. Men, families, gave the ultimate price. They died. They lost all. They're still doing it today. They don't hear much on it in the news anymore, but probably somewhere in our world today there was a military man or woman died. It's just become old hat again, isn't it? If that was your son, you'd be very attentive. If that was your daughter, you'd want to know she was all right. But they are fighting for our physical freedom. And these patriots of old, these men that founded our country, they went beyond all imaginations. They went against all odds and stood. Farmers, plowsmen, storekeepers. You'd be amazed. I've got some books back there on American history. You'd be amazed at the influence of the pulpit in the Revolutionary War. You'd be amazed how many of a preacher had such an influence in what took place in the founding of our country. How those men would stand in the pulpit and proclaim the gospel and then leave the pulpit armed to go fight. I don't remember what preacher it was, but he said he preached every service with two pistols on each side. Why? Because he was fighting in the battle but came home every week to stand before a congregation and preach the truth. Because they knew the importance of the gospel to their country. These men gave a great price. Let me read some more history. It says, after the Americans declared their independence, they had to win it by force. It wasn't given to them. You know, today, we went today and got Carrie signed up for college. And I've talked to Wyndham. Wyndham could stand up here and teach us all kinds of things with history. But I've talked to Wyndham about the college over here. He teaches it. And I remember I was in Bible college. They told us right up front, says, we don't give away diplomas. You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to earn these things. Well, our school systems today have lost sight of that. These men that fought for our freedoms, that freedom didn't come easy. They had to go when most people would never go. It says they had to win it by force. The task proved especially difficult, partly because the people never fully united behind the war effort. And I was amazed when I read this. There's a large number of the colonists, and they approximated about a third, remained unconcerned about the outcome of the war. They were indifferent and supported neither side. You know, it's hard to fight when you don't have unity. And even in our day of freedom, when our forefathers were fighting for the freedom of this country, men and women of those days, just like today, they, again, approximate a third of them didn't even care, didn't side one way or the other. And I thought, boy, that sounds like a lot of churches. There's a lot of people that go through the motions of religion that sit in the church pew Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but they're never really moved with the gospel. They're never moved with the thoughts that men are dying and going to hell. They're never moved on the fact that the fields are white unto harvest and the laborers are few. It's like water off a duck's back. It just runs right off of them and they go home and go through their day. That's exactly where it was in colonial times. Can you imagine being a mom and dad of a young lad that was out fighting for freedom and your neighbor didn't care? That's sort of like sitting in the pew and you're trying to see the Lord do something in our church and you want to see God do something in your life and people all around just don't care. Makes it hard, but it doesn't mean that you stop. Why? Because a patriot vigorously supports and defends for their country. It says as many as one-third of the population sympathized with Britain. They called themselves loyalists. The patriots called them Tories, the name of the political group in Great Britain that adamantly supported the king. So even after the third that didn't support anything, there was another third that said, we're not going to go with you. We're staying true to Britain. So that left what? A third of the colony that saw the need to fight for freedom. That tells me tonight there's always just going to be a few. Even the Bible talks about there's few. And tonight, I'm glad you're here tonight, but look, what could God do with a little? We were reminiscing Sunday, and I can't remember. I think I was trying to remember the missionary. But they were back in years and years ago. They went to, I think it was Africa or somewhere, and they took their family to the mission field, and they were out there in that terrible place of all these cannibal type people, and they were trying to take the gospel to these people that hated them. And said one night they were in their little hut and said the men from all over the villages surrounded their hut. And they just knew that was going to be the end of them. And said they got in there and they began to pray and they began to pray. And said all of a sudden it got quiet and they looked out and all those people had left. Years later this preacher had won one of those men over to the Lord. And they said, I just got to ask you something. You were there that night that y'all were going to kill my family. You were there that night when you were outside our hut and you were getting ready to burn us. Why didn't you? He says, all we could see was those whited men all around your house. And they got scared and run away. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the Lord has a great army. And I believe with all my heart He takes care of His own. And when men can't see, God's got angels unaware that are around about us working. Tonight it's not about what we can do, but it's about what God wants to do. That's the place we've got to die to ourselves. So, even a third of the population sympathized with Britain. Said 7,200 Americans were killed in the battle during the war. 8,200 were wounded. 10,000 died from diseases and exposure. Nearly 3,000 men died at Valley Forge alone. An additional 6,500 died in prison after being captured, and 1,400 soldiers were listed as missing. They paid a great price. Freedom was not free. Remember those 56 men that signed our Constitution? Our independence, Declaration of Independence? Remember them? What happened to them? Let me read what happened to them. Did they pay a price? Sure they did. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another 2 sons were captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds of hardship of the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship sunk by British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts and died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British General Cornwallis had taken over Thomas Nelson's home for his headquarters. Nelson quietly ordered George Washington to open fire on his own home. The home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she lay dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields were destroyed. For over a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home only to find his wife had died and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion. So you see, not only did they say, we're gonna, but they did. They made a great declaration. They pledged allegiance to what they believed in. They stood when nobody else would stand, and it cost them. Tonight, most people serving God understand that it costs something, but many of us are not willing. Tonight, if we really believe what we say we believe, is it not worth fighting for? These 56 men that signed our Declaration of Independence paid a great price. Other men paid a great price. Men of old, all the way from Calvary to now, have paid a great price to take the gospel. Today, people say, oh, that's a waste. That's a waste. Is it a waste? Oh, I think not. So we say tonight that it starts with a great declaration. There's a great price that has to be paid. And those patriots paid a great price. But let me draw our mind to you and I just quickly. See, it did cost a great price, but it didn't cost you. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ His life. He died for you. Have we forgotten? See, that's the price for my spiritual freedom. But it doesn't just stop there. And I know tonight we're not saved by works. We're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid that price. Only He could give that. But it also tonight, to serve the Lord, it cost you and I something. Why? Because Paul said that who had to die daily? Paul said he had to die daily. And friend, tonight, if we're going to walk in the army of God, if we're going to march to His drum, we too must cost or pay a price of dying to ourselves, because self is the problem. Everything you follow through, it's always about self. And boy, we live in a very selfish day. But tonight, if we're going to be a great patriot for Christ, just as these men of old were great patriots for our country, we're going to stand up and say, this is what we believe in. With all our heart, we know that it takes the Lord Jesus Christ to save a man from hell. Without Christ, you're going to die and you're going to go to an awful place. And stand up with no reservation, not backing up, not being ugly about it. You can be loving, you can be caring, but you're not going to sway me. Why? Because I believe the Bible. I believe what God said is true. I know He did it in my life. But not only are we going to have to say it, and churches say it all the time, but we need some people to put some shoe leather to the pavement. We need some people to rise up and hold this spiritual banner up, knowing it's going to cost. It's going to cost of yourself. Well, preacher, I'll give some money, and that's part of it. It takes money. God uses that money to do great things. And I'm thinking, well, we got a giving church. I praise the Lord for that. But could we give ourselves a little bit more? How much prayer time did we spend this week? Can we literally say that we've prayed like we should have? I can't. Preacher, don't you pray? I pray every day. But I sure don't have the prayer life I'd like to have. How much time do we spend this week with a track in our hands? It's going to cost us. Preacher, it's Wednesday night. We're here. I'm glad. But it's not just Sunday, Wednesday, and Sunday night. It's 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It costs them a great price. And then last of all, this evening, these great patriots, they stood and proclaimed, knowing that with that proclamation, when they said that this is what we're going to do, a death sentence was written beside their name. By declaring what they said, they say that they were considered dead men. But they were willing to stand anyway. They signed that Declaration of Independence knowing with their signature on that piece of paper, they would be counted as traitors to the king. But they signed it anyway. Look, we don't have to wear a t-shirt. We don't have to have a flashing sign. We don't have to say, have people shouting a horn that we're Christian. We're Christian. Walking there every day in that path for Christ speaks much louder than any sign will ever speak. Letting people see how genuine Christ is to us, how important Christ is for us, that speaks volumes. When you turn away from the dirty jokes because you tell them that my Lord wouldn't be happy with that, that speaks louder than any sign would ever speak. When they see you pray, that speaks volumes. When they see you read your Bible, that speaks volumes. I'm just saying tonight, they declared, not only did they make a declaration, but they stood and with what they said, and last of all, and I believe that's what we're getting ready to see tomorrow as we celebrate our independence. They proclaimed, they fought, and many of them died. Many of them never saw what they were fighting for. Many of them never got to enjoy this thing of freedom. All they enjoyed was pain. Can you imagine? Like I said, I've not done a lot of revolutionary reading, but I'm sure it's as gross or worse than what Civil War. Some of the grossest things. I've got a book back there. It's called Christ in the Camp. It's about a Confederate soldier, a chaplain in the Confederacy, and how they saw God at work inside the camp. But, you know, those men during the Civil War, and even worse in the Revolutionary War, when they got shot or they got hurt, they didn't have the technology that we have today. But I'm not exactly sure right now. I know during the Civil War that the arm of choice was a 58 caliber musket. A 58 caliber piece of lead is about the size of my thumb. Can you imagine something that big? I've got a Civil War musket. I was in a reenactment group. I loved that. It was a lot of fun. And I deer hunted with that musket. And I never killed nothing with it. But it was always one of my favorite things at the end of the deer season. We had a big hay field in my house. I'd always wait till it got just right at dark. And I'd go out there and I'd get the kids out there and say, watch this. And I'd pull that thing back and fire that muzzle loader. And that piece of lead, as big as your thumb, would come out the end of that barrel. And you, some of you won't know what I'm talking about. But you could see with your naked eye, you could see a red trail going through the darkness. That piece of lead was so big and moving so slow that you could see that. And I've sat there many a time in the woods thinking about how a piece of lead that big would hit a man. Oh, how it must hurt. The pain. It ain't like today. I mean, I'm not taking away with what men are suffering today. Man, these men are getting blown up by bombs and things, and many of them are coming back with missing legs and arms and all those things. And I mean, just terrible shrapnel and different things like that. But we've got drugs and we've got doctors and we've got a lot of things to help those, and I'm glad. These men would have holes in them and just lay there in agony. You'll see some gross things. Go home and look up Civil War medical devices. I mean, you're talking about archaic saws, butcher knives. Most men did not die from the battle. They died from their wounds and from the infections and the diseases. Oh, the price they paid, the agony that they were willing to go through. And even today, there's going to be men and women on foreign field fighting for our freedoms while we eat 150 million hot dogs. Do we think about that? I'm afraid we don't think like we ought to sometimes. But the greatest thing of all was the great reward they reaped. They went against all odds. The world said it couldn't be done. But a small handful of farm boys stood up and said, we believe in our freedoms. We believe what God's going to do. Stood before the Brits and fought for our independence. And what do we have today? Freedom. We have a great reward. They reaped. The war that began on April 19, 1775 officially ended when the Treaty of Paris was signed in 1783, nearly 2 years after the Great Battle of Yorktown, where 10,000 troops laid down their arms and General Cornwallis hid in a cave. The Americans made a bold declaration. They paid a high price and they reaped a great reward. They won their freedom, their independence. Tonight, I don't have time to read all this, but let me give you this. I'm done. How many of you thinks heaven's going to be a pretty good place? Don't you think heaven's going to be a good place? Don't we read over in the book of Revelation where it's a place of no more pain, suffering, heartaches, no more death? Oh, it's a place where the sun's always going to be there. It's a place where there's going to be no sickness. There's going to be no problems. There's going to be unity because we're going to be one in Christ. Oh, tonight, the freedom of knowing that a man, that we can take the gospel, not our beliefs and what we think, but take the Bible and take the Bible and lay it into a man's lap. And that man could be at the bottom of his bucket. He could be to the place of wanting to commit suicide and give up on life. And how the gospel can be read and the gospel can be shown to him. And how the Holy Ghost can take hold of that man and liberate him as he trusts Christ as his Savior. What a great reward. So tonight, I guess the question is it really worth fighting for? Again, most of those men never even saw the freedom that they fought for back in those 1700s. They gave the ultimate. They gave their life that we could have what we got today. I didn't see Christ die on Calvary, but I know He did. I'm glad tonight that I can show men, women, boys and girls what the Lord has done and what He will do in a man's life. Tonight you might be praying for someone you think, boy, they're never going to get saved. It might not happen in your lifetime. It might not happen in my lifetime. But I'm just trusting the Lord that God will work and God will do. It's a great reward. It's worth fighting for. It's worth serving in. So tonight, would you be a patriot? Peter pledged allegiance, and within 24 hours, he'd already fell out. I'm figuring there's a lot of us here tonight. We made some allegiances along the way. Maybe it's been a long time since you got around this altar and just said, thank you, Lord. Boy, I sure ain't been doing what I need to do, but boy, I just want to get back in the battle. I just want to get back in the fight. I just want to get back out there and do something for you while I got a day to do it in. Would you be counted for the cost? Would you be willing to stand in it? These patriots did, and what a great work they did. We got freedom. Where the world would love to have what we've got it. All because some men stood and says, we declare. We're going to make a declaration. And they signed their name to it and suffered great loss. But look what we've gained. Jesus Christ has paid a great price. All you got to do is accept Him. But will you live for Him? That's the price you got to pay. Die to yourself. It's not a big deal. It's not like these men did. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's worth it. But tonight, these great patriots, would you declare tonight? Would you help pay the price? Would you say there was a great reward? Let's stand together this evening. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.